I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for February 5th, 2018, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lutke?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, so our quorum does exist. Welcome to all of you to our City Council meeting tonight. I know many of you are here to help us honor Mr. Giha. But if anyone has other questions during the course of the meeting, please raise your hand and let me know, and I will recognize you at the right time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Hanem.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, you would have found at your places tonight a copy of Ordinance Number 6-2018 concerning Centennial Crossing. Please add this as Agenda Item 17. Again, that's Item 17, Ordinance 6-2018 that was left at your places. Also, the Law Director distributed an exhibit that should go along with Item Number 9. It is the license agreement for Inside the Five. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to schedule a Utilities Committee meeting, and you can see there is a referral on the agenda, so at some point in the meeting, I'd like to do that.
Why don't we just do it right there? Okay. That'll be fine. Schedule meeting.
That's it.
Additional items from other members of City Council.
Mr. Mayor, there are two information items, C and D, or B and C, and I know we normally address those, but I would like to make sure that somebody has a plan to talk about both of those at the end of our meeting. I don't know if we need to add them. As agenda items, I would just hope that...
We'll address them during the information items. We do have Captain Snore here to address the police chief's memo.
Okay.
And
perfect.
Kevin or I can certainly talk about the CMAC funding award. That is for the funding at Silica and Monroe Street. We've told you that we were looking to be successful in that, and we finally got the paperwork saying we were. Verbally, we knew it a month or two ago, but now we have the actual document.
That's great.
Finally came out of TEMACOG. Mr. Sanford.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Captain Snore.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor of approving the agenda as amended, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the agenda is approved. Agenda item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on January the 16th. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the Sylvania City Council meeting minutes for the meeting of January 16th, 2018, as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the council meeting minutes from January 16th, 2018, as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. That brings us to agenda item 5, a proclamation to honor one of our community's leading people, Mr. Giha. I'm going to come down there. I have a proclamation to read to you. So if you could step forward as well, I would appreciate it. Advisory
advisory board for the Department of Criminal Justice of Lawrence University, the advisory board for Lucas County Heroin Task Force, and is the director of the Peace Project. And whereas he has been married to his wife Liz for 46 years and has four children who are all teachers and 14 grandchildren, and whereas Mr. Geha was recognized for his outstanding leadership and commitment to his work as a drug counselor, now therefore I, Craig A. Style, Mayor, do hereby proclaim today, Monday, February 5th, 2018, as William Geha Day in the city of Sylvania. We always see you in schools, working with young people, doing your part. Our community is very fortunate that you're working right here in our schools with our young people. Thank you very much.
All right. You're all welcome to stay with us for the rest of our meeting. But we will not be troubled or insulted at all if you care to go out and celebrate William Geha Day somewhere other than in these council chambers. Or go out at any time you like. But we're going to go on with the rest of our agenda items here, beginning with a very exciting resolution about accepting tax rates. So with that, Council, we'll move on to Agenda Item 6, which is Proposed Resolution Number 3-2018. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of Resolution Number 3-2018. All members of Council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the County Auditor, waiving the second and third reading.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 3-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of Resolution Number 3-2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded that Resolution Number 3-2018 be passed as an emergency measure. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Resolution 3-2018 is approved. Agenda Item 7, now we are on to something that's very exciting. First time around on something like this. This has to do with the steps forward that the Toledo Area Water Authority has made in the last year. This is a project that this administration and this city have worked on since 1996 and is important to our region. It's clearly a progressive item that will make water a regional asset once again to bring safe, dependable, and redundantly supplied water at fair rates to all of our residents throughout the region. As you probably saw in the media, we did have a signing ceremony last Wednesday at the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce where nine local leaders stood together and signed the Memorandum of Understanding. It was a ceremonial signing. We cannot, the leaders, the mayors and the county commissioners and the water commissioners that were there cannot approve these without the votes of the legislative bodies. So that's why it's here, and it's also going to Maumee City Council and Perrysburg City Council and to Toledo City Council. It'll be considered by the Lucas County Commissioners, by the Fulton County Commissioners, by the Monroe County Drain Commission, and also by the Village of White House. All of those groups have a vote into this. There would be nine members, and those representatives and their service departments or their specialists in water, the utility directors, have been meeting behind closed doors since last April. Many of the meetings were held right here in Sylvania at Lord's University. This is the 13th version of the MOU, and a few people have said, well, 13, that sounds really unlucky. And I said, how many colonies founded the United States of America? 13 is not an unlucky number. Certainly within a few years, it grew to 16, with the addition of Vermont and Tennessee and Georgia, as I remember. But this is a very progressive document. All need to approve it. If they don't, we'll take another look at it and probably proceed with those that did approve it. So I am asking that this be referred to the Utilities Committee for your study, for your understanding, and then for your action, hopefully before March 15th. Now, I've got something else here I'd like to pass around to you. I took this off of the internet today. The City of Toledo puts out a news letter electronically every Friday. This is the message from Mayor Capsicavage, and he has repeated here on this news report exactly what he's been telling me for the last year. I first made contact with him about this issue last February at the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce's legislative breakfast, when he approached me to talk about this, and we have talked since then, and he has remained a champion of a regional water authority as well, just as I have been. So I am very pleased by that. He does have a challenge ahead of him to get it through Toledo City Council. They have many questions. They started the process last Wednesday afternoon, just hours after we signed the document. And in this particular report, Mayor Capsicavage is calling on each of his district representatives to the Toledo City Council, there are six of them, to schedule public meetings on regional water in each district of the City of Toledo. You may want to have a public hearing on it. You may want to have representatives of the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce come and the facilitator, Eric Rothstein. They are both very knowledgeable. But I encourage you to understand it, to see what it obligates you to. There are different phases for this. But the first step, approving this, will obligate the City of Sylvania to its portion of the $5 million estimated transition costs that will happen in the next 2 years. City of Sylvania's portion of that is 3%. That's based on the percentage of the water that's used by all those water users in the nine communities. So 3% of $5 million, we will commit the city to $150,000 of transition expenses. If you don't choose to participate and you want to join later, then it becomes more expensive to catch up. So it is not a free step. The City of Sylvania will have, there will be a seven-member board. You've probably all read it by now. It's easy reading. But I'm open to any questions. But tonight, the goal is just to have you refer it to the Utilities Committee, schedule a meeting so that you can discuss it in more detail. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we refer this Memorandum of Understanding to the Utilities Committee.
Second.
Any discussion?
Who's going to participate from the administration in these meetings? I assume.
I am. Kevin is very knowledgeable, as is Mrs. Brining. They've all three of us have participated in the facilitation sessions.
Right.
We've met with all of the participants on a regular basis. Kevin participated also previously in the technical committee of the TEMACOG study, which took place in the previous year. and Mrs. Branding has actively participated in the legal subcommittee at the T. McCaug as well. She also meets separately with the law directors to make legal suggestions to the MOU as we were proceeding forward. So all three of us can bring knowledge. But there's specialized knowledge that you might want to have from Eric Rothstein. He was the facilitator that was brought in. He is the author of this. I mean, it was much like Thomas Jefferson writing the Declaration of Independence. He couldn't decide whether he was happy with the comments or pleased that it got better as it went along. But it changed a lot. That's why we're at 13, because everybody had to work through their concerns, their constituencies, and what their visions were. So I would recommend...
Eric was the author of the Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU.
He was the author of the initial MOU and then the compiler of the changes as we moved forward. And when an issue was voiced, he would go back and work on the language to address it.
Can we schedule...
No,
a meeting of our committee without
all right.
conferring with him.
I'll take care of it. Yeah,
right.
We're going to.
This is discussion about the motion. And you're on it. You're fine.
Yeah.
Should we take a vote on the motion and then discuss the meeting?
We can do it. This is an original motion. You're right. Okay.
All right. The motion on the floor was to refer this MOU for TAWA and Ordinance Number 1, 2018, which would be the document that you will approve it with, to the Utilities Committee. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
So my thinking in terms of regarding scheduling the meeting is that we consider having a Utilities Committee meeting one morning prior to our March 5th meeting, and the members of Utility Committee currently are Mark Fry, Patrick Richardson, and Sandy Hussman. And Mr. Dickin from the Chamber and Eric, who is the gentleman that that the mayor was referring to that actually developed the document, look like they may be available to come in before the March 5th meeting. We will need to confirm that. So I thought it might be helpful to have a Utilities Committee meeting prior to that, but certainly to invite them to come to a meeting prior to that March 5th meeting as well, at which point if there was additional questions we could refer or we could ask them, keeping in mind that we'd like to get this approved if we can before March 15th. And our next meeting after that March 5th meeting is March 19th. So in an ideal world, we'll have had enough discussion, enough information to make a decision on March 5th. If we're not ready, then we will hold and we won't meet that March 15th deadline. So does that make sense as far as Utility Committee members are concerned?
So let me, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm not on the committee, but go ahead.
So I am looking at February 27th at a 7:30. Time as a possibility.
That's fine by me. My only comment is, Mr. Richardson, this may take a while, so are you going to be able to block out? Because this isn't going to be an hour meeting, I wouldn't think.
And that's a Tuesday. Then, no. It's a Tuesday. I need to be at my office by 9 o'clock. We have a traders meeting every Tuesday at 9, unfortunately.
So would Wednesday the 28th be?
That would be fine.
That's fine by me. I just wanted
question.
To...
question.
Thank you
question.
For that. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Okay.
Sure.
My question, I know I'm not
yeah.
on the committee, but I will certainly participate in this or attend as a member of public or otherwise, but is there... Okay, if we're going to adopt this on the 5th, we're not going to meet with Mr. Rothstein and Mr. Dickens until the 5th?
You know, based on their schedules, it doesn't look like they will be available before that. So that's really why we got to that particular date, Mr. Hainem.
Okay.
Mrs. Westfall, would it be appropriate... given the significant nature of this, for us to, I'm sure you're shocked by this, put together questions?
Oh, actually, I just assumed, of course, Mr. Frye, we would be depending on you to just advance that personal.
Well, after talking with Mrs. Brining, she told me that I'm not conflicted on this, so I'm going to have questions. But I imagine other members of council will as well. So if that's the case, then should there be an individual person assigned internally at the administrative level to get those questions over to Mr. Rothstein?
So I actually think that Mr. Allen would be the appropriate person. And that's one of the reasons why I think the February 28th meeting might be important, because I think that Mr. Aller and Mrs. Brining and the mayor can answer a lot of those questions. And then the questions that they're not able to respond to, we can be aware of and forward on to the other two representatives.
Okay.
I would prefer to try to answer what questions we can here and send other questions along to Mr. Rothstein.
There'll probably be some of each, at least after my review of it.
So 7:30 on Wednesday, February 8th is
28th,
excuse me, works for everybody. And then our meeting on March 5th, when we would invite the other two gentlemen to join us, could be, I'm thinking like a quarter of seven-ish timeline, 6:30, quarter to seven. Anybody have a perspective on that? I hope that most of our questions will be answered in the first meeting and that this will really be just more high-level questions.
You know, Mary, as a member of council, not of the committee, it would seem to me that that committee of the whole meeting could, in fact, in some people's minds, serve as a community meeting, okay. Right? So I would encourage us to schedule it earlier rather than later. So if we have public attending, they could come in and make comment and ask questions.
So 6:30. And I think you made an interesting comment there. I do think it would be wise to have that be a committee of the whole meeting where everybody's present at that 6:30 time frame. And we could certainly, if people from the public want to join us, they'd be very welcome. And it will be posted appropriately.
Yeah, I'd like to be a little proactive about making people know. Because, you know, part of the impact of this is the fact that the city will be making a financial investment in this new venture, and I think that has interest to taxpayers.
So 6:30 Monday, March 5th. And we'll confirm that the other representatives are available that evening. Okay, thank you.
What's the location of the February 28th here, or are we going to do the other?
Right here is fine.
So the only public comment we're going to take on this will be at the committee of the whole meeting on the 5th. That's our plan.
I don't have a plan. I was just thinking that's an opportunity for that to happen.
The administration certainly opened to questions earlier. Your official public comment is probably that night. However, we have posted the memorandum on the city's website. We're going to have a link to it from the Facebook page, and we'll try to handle any questions that we get prior to that. But if you're going to have a formal public meeting, yes, it sounds like it's the 5th of March.
Excuse me.
Doug, do you feel that there's sufficient interest that there needs to be some other opportunity?
I don't know. We have 40 days to act on this, and we're not going to meet on it during the first 25.
So what I would suggest is that if on March 5th, when the representatives are available, we are not ready to take action, we maybe would have to have a special meeting of council, or I do think that we certainly can hold to March 19th if we need to.
I think you can, too. March 15th is just a marker date that they put in there. I suspect that the city of Toledo might also need more time. If you're not ready on the 5th, I wouldn't have a problem with you going to the 19th.
Mr. Hanum, just for your information, my understanding is that two members of the Utilities Committee won't be present for the February 20th meeting, which is why we did not move to that date, just for your information.
So we meet at 7:30 on the 28th and 6:30 on the 5th.
Correct. And if there's any unexpected comment from the community that causes us to take a moment of pause, of course, we'll do that. Thank you all for your time.
All right, if we're ready to move on, I'm certainly able to address questions that you have prior to that. Or the law director or the service director are very knowledgeable as well. Thank you for the referral. Let's move on in the agenda to agenda item 8, which is proposed ordinance 2, 2018. This is concerning an amendment to the SOMO property purchase agreement. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We just received a request for two additional 30-day extensions to our purchase agreement with Republic and J.C. Hart. This provides them until April 6th to complete the approval period. We are moving forward on all of the issues that they identified. The only remaining one is to work out a solution regarding the retaining wall, and I believe we'll have that wrapped up this week. So I don't anticipate any additional issues, and it would be my recommendation that the First Amendment to the real estate purchase agreement be approved.
I will confirm what Mrs. Brining said. Progress is being made on this. We had three members of City Council go with us to the Indianapolis area, tour one of the facilities, meet about this project. It has come through the Planning Commission. I know that engineering is proceeding. The fire department's had a chance to review it, I believe, Chief. So progress is being made. It's just there are complications on the project because of its density on the site. There are drainage issues. It's an old part of town, so there are some property line issues that need to be resolved. And there's a existing retaining wall that has caused some issues as well. So I also recommend that these two additional 30-day extensions be granted. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 2-2018. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Approving the First Amendment to Commercial Real Estate Purchase Agreement of Republic Development, LLC and J.C. Hart Company, Incorporated to purchase the city's real estate known as the SOMO property located along Monroe Street. Authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to accept said First Amendment to Real Estate Purchase Agreement on behalf of the City of Sylvania, determining said real estate to be no longer needed for municipal purposes, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 2-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 2-2018.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 2-2018 receive final passage as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 2-2018 is approved. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 9, you have proposed ordinance 3-2018. This is to grant a license to Inside the Five Brewing to enter a portion of city-owned right-of-way to install and maintain an ingress-egress ramp, and it is to meet ADA requirements for access into that building. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. During the construction of Inside the Five, the inside flooring, they had to modify the entrance into the building, and the floor level coming into what will be the new door is approximately 9 inches above the existing sidewalk. That's too much of an increase to do with just a short little ramp, so to speak, just entrance ramp. So what they're asking to do is be able to put a longer ramp in order to meet the ADA requirements and have that run along the building. But because the right-of-way is building face to building face, they'll be within the right-of-way to do that. So We're just granting them permission to install that. This is actually probably going to be a short-term installation, because in part of our capital improvement plan is in the year 2021, I believe. It's either 2020 or 21. We'll be reconstructing that section of Maplewood, and all of that existing sidewalk and everything will come out. The grade will likely be adjusted, that this ramp may not be necessary at that point, but it's just too early in that project to know for sure. So, we would recommend approval and allow them to continue with the installation.
Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 3, 2018. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would read by title only. Granting a license to Inside the Five Brewing to enter a portion of city-owned right-of-way to install and maintain an ingress-egress ramp. Authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to sign the license agreement, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 3, 2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 3, 2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 3, 2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 3, 2018 is approved. Looks like we have two high school students out there. We have two motions to pass ordinances in a single night. Our charter requires us to read them in their entirety three times at three consecutive council meetings, but because everybody can see it online or have a copy of it with a Xerox machine, the first motion allows us to waive the second and third readings and to read by title only. The second motion, if there are five positive votes, we can pass it in one evening. That's why there's two motions going on. Okay. Turning on to page 2 of our agenda, we're up to agenda item 10, proposed ordinance 4, 2018. This is to change the class grade of the chief probation officer from grade 15 to grade 21. The new judge has filled this position, which has not been filled for some time. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's correct. The chief probation officer position has been vacant since the current clerk was promoted to her position 6 years ago, and with the new judge coming in and reorganization of the staff, he's indicated that he wants to fill that position. The class grade 21 is the starting salary is still lower than Perrysburg Municipal Court, the Toledo Municipal Court, Oregon, Delaware. So I appreciate the awareness of our budget, and I do believe I did receive some confirmation that the goal is to further reduce the probation staffing based on how the current sentences are being handled, and also through the use of our temporary services. So I believe at the end of the year with the increase, he's hoping that it will be a net zero. It's not his intention to add any additional employees, but he does feel like this is a position that needs to be it's a critical position for his staff, and they need to have some supervision.
And Mrs. Brining, as you and I talked about earlier, I think the reality is that we're not going to attract an appropriate candidate unless the salary range is market rate.
Yep, correct. I would recommend its approval if anybody has any questions.
Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 4, 2018. Copies have previously been made available to members of council, therefore I'll read by title only. Revising the administrative, departmental, and divisional organization of the city and the codified ordinances thereof by amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Section 139.02 to change the class grade of the chief probation officer from class grade 15 to class grade 21. Waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 4, 2018 be read by title only, the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 4, 2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 4, 2018 as an emergency measure.
Just make one comment.
Yes, sir.
I've talked with our new judge about his probation plans, and I'm encouraged and excited about his some of his ideas on how to manage our court costs through a different and revised approach to probation. A number of the candidates for this position shared those same sorts of thoughts, and with a long-term goal of reducing the burden on the city of Sylvania of supplementing the costs and fines that the court collects with our direct subsidy, which, as we all know, falls unfairly on the city and exempts the townships that are within the jurisdiction of the city from sharing in those costs. So I wish Judge Bonfiglio the best of luck in this, and I know this is a step in that process. So while it looks like we may spend more, the goal is to ultimately save our neighbors in the city of Sylvania some of the burden of having that court in our city.
Thank you. That is a normal conversation topic for Judge Bonfiglio and myself when I see him. And it has been confirmed on several occasions that probation periods are being reduced. So the burden will, over time, go down on the probation department. Thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Hanum. We were up to our final passage of proposed ordinance 4, 2018. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 4, 2018 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 11, which is the Main Street Reconstruction Project. This is to select an engineering firm and award a contract for construction engineering services. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We posted requested letters of interest from consultants to provide construction engineering services for our Main Street project. We received 6 proposals. These services they include things such as inspection, answering questions from contractors, making construction modifications, things of that nature. It also includes any testing services that are to be provided. They partnered with Bowser Mourner of Toledo to provide those services. And then at the end, they'll also provide us with a copy of record drawings that will show exactly how the project was constructed and any changes made to the design drawings. Stantec company out of Toledo was the consultant that we selected based on their qualifications. Whenever you have federal highway money, you have to do what's called qualifications-based selection. And you select the firm based on their qualifications, and then you negotiate the fee with them based on the number of hours and the work that you're requesting. We've negotiated the fee with them in the amount of $81,400 for those services, and we would recommend approval to move forward with Stantec.
Kevin, you consider these engineering construction services central or separate from the design services being provided by a different firm?
Yes, that's correct.
And you're comfortable with that separation of services?
Yes, actually, that too is a requirement with federal highway money.
Okay.
The firm conducting the inspection has to be different than the firm conducting the design.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Mr. Eller, the 81 grand that we're considering here, is this part of the overall budget?
Yes. Yes, it's part of the project budget.
Thank you.
Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 5, 2018. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Stantec to provide construction engineering services relative to the Main Street Reconstruction Project, appropriating funds, therefore, in the amount of $81,400 waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 5-2018 be read by title only and second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 5-2018.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 5-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 5-2018 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 12. You have the service director's report concerning hiring Smith Group JJR to provide some design services or concept development for how we can improve the southwest corner of Haroon and Monroe Street. That is a fully asphalt paved area and is the entryway to our largest employer, the Flower Hospital campus, and offers some possibilities to build a decorative wall and change the signage on the site and make it more acceptable along this very important entryway to our city. So I ask the service director to get a proposal to do this, and you have it in front of you. Mr. Aller, how did you come about this, and any more comments you'd like to make?
No, I think you covered that one pretty well, Matt.
Okay. It's not a big contract. We were pleased that it didn't come back several times this amount. It's $5,500. We had struggled at the staff table to design a brick wall that might go there and how we were going to make the signage work, get the pole sign down, get rid of some of the asphalt, and that's why we wanted to bring in JJR, who has been working on our river trail and has worked on other issues for design and along Monroe Street. So we would recommend this contract be awarded. You have Ordinance 6-2000. Am I correct?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Ordinance 6. Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
No, it isn't. I take that back. Oh, it is Ordinance 6. Okay. Okay. That's why I'm confused.
Mr. Mayor, did this changing of the pole sign have anything to do with the fast-advancing ban on pole signs that we have in the city of Sylvania?
The city has had a program to encourage property owners to take those poles down for some time, and we've been very successful with that. We're just targeting that one at the moment because it's such an important corner in town. There are some other signs around town that are still getting replacement faceplates on them. There's going to be one in front of the Plan Commission next week. The Appliance Center has bought the building immediately west of where they're at right now, and they'd like to replace the faceplates on them. We have told them about the deadline to take those signs down, yes.
We're past the halfway point. Where are we now? What year does it actually go into effect? I've got to think.
2026.
Eight years.
8 years. Time flies.
All right. So this is a $5,500 proposal. I think this one's worth the money to get some fresh ideas on how we can improve that. I've been referring to that corner as Valvoline Corner. We need to do something better there. Mrs. Capellini, I put your name down for this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 6-2018. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of JJR LLC to provide conceptual design of streetscape enhancements at the southwest corner of the Monroe Street and Haroon Road, appropriating funds therefore in the amount not to exceed $5,500, waiving a second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 6-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move final passage, Ordinance Number 6-2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 6-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 6-2018 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 13, you have ordered resolution number 4-2018 to officially appoint council member Patrick Richardson to the Board of Trustees of the Sylvania Community Services Board for this year. Mr. Lukey?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. As we did discuss at our last meeting, Mr. Richardson has agreed to serve as our representative at the Sylvania Community Services. I've done that myself in the past. I think he'll be an outstanding complement to the issues that are, relate to seniors and young children at that organization. So I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 4, 2018. Copies have been made available previously to members of council, therefore I'll read by title only. Appointing Patrick Richardson to the Board of Trustees of the Sylvania Community Services for the full calendar year of 2018, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that Resolution Number 4, 2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Right. I move final passage of Resolution Number 4, 2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 4, 2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Resolution 4, 2018 is approved. And congratulations, Mr. Richardson.
Thank you.
Moving on to agenda item 14. You have in your council packets a letter that we received from Lord University. This is a subject that they've talked to Mr. Sanford and I for the past several months and has been a subject for several years of how to interest more of the students at Lord University to come downtown, to be a part of our community rather than necessarily leaving town and going someplace else with their business. President Mary Ann Gowalik and I discussed this sometime last fall. And we were in the middle of our downtown lighting project at the time. So we pushed it aside, wanted to see how it was going to interact with that. And I also encouraged the university to think about using our other banner location, which is down on Monroe Street in front of the Tony Paco's strip center down there, where we still have an ordinance. In fact, we have the guidelines for it as a part of your council packets, item 14A. And the university is very interested in bringing that to Main Street, bringing that right in the middle of our downtown. It certainly seems like an appropriate idea to consider, but I think it needs thought in that you will be setting a precedent, and other parties will be able to request the same banner location. So I would think that this needs to be referred to a committee, and I'm the one that came up with the Community Relations Committee, Mr. Lukey, because this is more community relations, I think, than zoning.
Well, it is, and I believe that our current banner program that we have in downtown came through the committee, so it makes sense, unless Mr. Hayden wants feel proprietary about it.
No, I'm not at all. I do think, you know, Lourdes presents a very unique neighbor, a unique part of our community.
Right.
So I'll probably sit in on your meeting.
I think that would be good. You know, I was in a downtown in a college town in central Ohio a number of years ago on the moving in weekend, and the entire town was decked out with banners and signs welcoming the students to town. And so I think that at the very least we can move in that direction with this kind of legislation. So we'll take a look at it.
We do have a quote that the Chamber of Commerce helped us get. The physical installation is only estimated at $1,500 or so to put the second cable in that would be necessary,
right,
and does not interfere with the new lights. So that's not a technical issue.
Right.
I think this is a precedent-setting issue that you need to take a good close look at.
Right. Maybe we want to have Mr. Aller or somebody from his office be at the meeting to help us understand that. But looking to schedule a meeting between now and our next council meeting, and so we can add this to the agenda.
All right. Well, let's have a motion to refer this issue to the Employee and Community Relations Committee.
Yes, so moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Would you like to try to set that meeting, Mr. Luke?
No, as you'll hear momentarily, we have to do a little bit of schedule checking with another agenda item at that meeting.
Very
so
good.
We will keep you posted.
Well, let's move on to that. Agenda item 15 is committee reports. For your report from the meeting held at 7 p.m. this evening.
Right. The committee met to discuss how to proceed with the selection of a vendor for the 2019 city calendar. As you all know, Mr. Sanford sent out requests for qualifications a week or so ago, and we received two proposals from Flanders and Fuller, who has done, the company that's done our two previous calendars, and from Creative Oxygen, which has been, has worked with the city on some economic development marketing in the past. The committee felt that both proposals were valid. However, there was some concern that the Creative Oxygen proposal was 30% higher than the amount requested in the RFQ. So there was a general sense that we want to be sensitive to the spending of tax dollars. It's highly unlikely that we'll be able to generate another underwriter to cover the cost of the extra agency costs. We also felt that there was no fundamental reason why a company that has done the previous two calendars ought to be disqualified from this. So we are proceeding as a committee to meet with Flanders and Fuller to discuss their concepts for their calendar for next year and have some conversations with them about how we might tighten up our procedures in terms of making sure that the quality standards are acceptable to the city. So that's the meeting that needs to be scheduled, and we'll make that then a broader agenda to cover the other issue as well.
Very well. I understand. Are there any other committee reports to be made at this time? Or any committee referrals? If not, let's move on to added agenda item 17, which is ordinance number 7. It is marked number 6. That's why I was confused a few moments ago. It should be ordinance number 7. This has to do with the Property Owners Association and Centennial Crossings. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I've had a chance to talk to most of you beforehand, but this just authorizes the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with the Homeowners Association out at Mayberry. Our service director has indicated that the sewer pumping station that's currently there is private. We want to connect it to our public sewer service or sanitary service and have it be maintained by the city. Mr. Aller and I have worked over the past probably year and a half or so to negotiate with the Homeowners Association and work out the contributions for that. So we would recommend approval of the ordinance.
All right. This is a utilities issue. It's connected to something in zoning, but in annexation. But Mrs. Westfall should read this as a utility issue. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 7-2018. All members of council have received copies in advance, so I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with the Village of Centennial Crossings Property Owners Association and Centennial Crossings LLC relative to the sanitary sewer pumping station, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 7-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number
7-2018. Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 7-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 7-2018 is approved. That gets us to these information items. First off, I draw your attention to the fourth quarter 2017 management reports. There's a lot of valuable information in these. If you want to find out how many cubic yards of leaves we picked up, how many gallons of water were pumped into the city, how many hours were spent on vehicle repairs, it's all in here. I refer to those often. But that's part of my job. item B, TMACOG letter. This is the one for the CMAC funding award in the amount of $2,373,500. Well done, Mr. Aller. We appreciate your work. These are funds that became available when the Village of Ottawa Hills and the City of Toledo could not agree on improvements to Secor Road south of Central Avenue. Mr. Aller went after these funds, and this is to provide improvements on at Monroe Street and Silica. CMAC has to do with congestion mitigation and air quality. And we have large backups of traffic there on school days, in the mornings particular, and there are definitely possibilities to improve traffic flow there. There was a preliminary plan that was published that showed a roundabout, which is not my pick at the moment, though we'll go into engineering here in the next year or so and talk about it. Roundabouts are favorites to reduce congestion and air pollution because traffic does not stop. Traffic not stopping, however, is not very compatible with the two schools being nearby, and children and others, and a library, public library as well. So there is, we will be looking at different designs, but both of the designs would include the addition of at least one, probably two lanes heading east, both west of and east of Basilica Road intersection on Monroe Street. The ones coming into the intersection would allow a permanent right turn lane. That's part of the problem in the morning. You just need to be able to keep turning right. And there would be two straight through lanes or a two-lane roundabout. And then a second lane will be added east of the intersection in front of the library until you get to the railroad tracks so that you have two rows of traffic heading east, not just one. Both of those will go a long way to reducing that congestion there. The decision to keep Monroe Street one lane in each direction with a center turn lane was decided by the service director of the city back in the early 1980s, and we've taken another look at that. There's just too much traffic coming in. I think this is the right answer. The single lanes do work most of the time, except during rush hour, particularly on school days. So we're going to take a look at that. The case was made strong enough by Mr. Aller's application that they feel it's also worthy of taking a look at. Please do not feel that the roundabout is the required solution. It may be the recommended solution, but we're going to take a closer look at that.
But, Mr. Mayor, if it is the recommended solution, expect a high level of community.
I've already gotten a number of personal calls and people concerned about it. I've also discussed the two-lane roundabout down adjacent to Springfield High School, and that one has not gotten gold stars down there.
And a totally different environment down there, an industrial environment.
But they still have kids walking to work, and they're sending an administrator out there to help the kids cross that roundabout.
Yeah. I think you'll find pushback from the faculties of the two schools over there.
I think, I agree. That's been the problem. They put up some flashing lights, and people don't expect to have to stop in a roundabout.
Yeah.
That's confusing enough going through that one without watching for flashing lights.
Mr. Aller is a bright human being. I'm sure he'll read the tea leaves on that one.
He's been lectured enough on this one already. Just got it again. Any additional comments, Mr. Aller?
Not at this time.
Can answer your questions, Mr. Hanum?
Absolutely.
So there will be a public hearing?
Absolutely. Okay. And when we're going to start design on this in next year, for 2020?
2019. We are starting to have meetings already with the school system, and we'll be reaching out to the library soon as well. But there won't be any design actually starting until next year, 2019.
Okay.
Are there any designs that are like best for walkers? Can we just ask that? I mean, there's got to be something.
We'll be taking a look. We'll be taking a look at, the roundabout at Springfield is an example that has brought some problems. But there are just normal intersection improvements that can be made there. The grant funding is still available for such improvements. There are roundabout designs that are more pedestrian friendly. So
if we need little
those
kids.
Are the things.
If we got little kids and high school kids on cell phones, we just need to make sure that whatever they can do, they take it into consideration because there's a lot of walkers there.
There is no rush on this design. We are going to take a real good look at it.
Okay, thank you.
And the site design at the library has been modified to allow for this additional lane to be installed as well. So that's already in the plan. Okay, let's move on to information item C. This was Chief Rodas's memo concerning 2017 police and drug enforcement funds. This is an annual report you get. This just states the revenues and the expenditures of each fund. Captain Snore, I've given you a chance to prepare yourself. Mr. Hanem, do you have any particular questions?
Well, I guess we have, we have carryover balances, and I just wonder what the point, if the plan is to, what the plan is to deal
with. Well, if you look down to the bottom one on the first page, you'll see that we did have a $60,000 expenditure out of that. We did buy two new vehicles for the police department out of that fund because the balance was getting so high, and we did not have to take them out of the general fund then.
Right.
That is an appropriate expenditure. I don't know whether, Mr. Schreier, you want to comment or not. Those, have those vehicles been ordered yet, Captain?
We have. Yeah. They're in service.
They're in service. Okay. So we do take a look at those.
What can the law enforcement trust fund be used for?
There's a nearly a $25,000 investment in equipment. What would have that been, Captain?
We updated our protective equipment for the officers, riot gear. We bought gear for all the officers in case we're ever called into service for that type of, we haven't bought that type of equipment in about 24 years, so.
I'm glad we're don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining about the spending.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is what other needs do we have that we are available to make use of these monies, you know, I mean, I think we're pretty borderline cheap at times here. We're very prudent.
We are efficient and economical, not cheap.
Prudent, efficient, economical. But those are some significant balances, and you know, I think, and there are, we shouldn't be reluctant to identify needs and spending accordingly. And I know the guy sitting next to you quiz you pretty hard on it. So, but wherever we can support our law enforcement activities with those funds, the money doesn't do us any good in the account. Money does us good when it's in spent on the right things so that you guys can do your job. So
we will be testing body cameras coming up in the next year or two. I don't know whether that'll be an appropriate expenditure there or not.
Certainly.
The body cameras themselves are not that expensive. It's the data retention and transfer that's the expensive part of that.
The public records law issues.
Yep. So we'll take a look at that. I appreciate your comments, and we'll take that into account. That brings us to the end of our agenda. If there are no further items, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next meeting on Tuesday, February the 20th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.